Malcolm here, and this is Quiet Time Coaching, podcasts designed to help us to have a more authentic, intimate, and satisfying relationship with God. And today we're talking about how to pray when you feel like you're drowning, how to find hope when you're out of your depth. And this is inspired by some preparation I've been doing for a sermon on Psalm 130. I'll be preaching on this coming Sunday, the 6th of August, 2017. So just here in the first couple of verses, this is what the psalmist says. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. So you can hear here that he's in a pretty desperate situation. Now, later on, the psalm goes on to talk about hope. We'll get into that maybe in a further recording. But have a look at the whole psalm, because this outburst at the beginning is still placed in the center of a sense that the psalmist has of hope. Hope is attractive. In fact, I think it's kind of magnetic. But what kind of hope are we talking about in this psalm? Now, you can be hopeful that your team will win a trophy, but such a hope is uncertain. It's a wish, but never certain. So even the most confident hope is knocked off balance when we're in over our head. And I expect you, like me, have had a drowning feeling in life from time to time. Well, if you've had that sense as well, then you and this psalmist are normal human beings like the rest of us. So is there a way to hold on to genuine hope while we're struggling in the deep? Well, I've often felt overwhelmed, but I think sometimes we use that word, and I use that word too glibly, because being truly overwhelmed is, well, it's devastating. I mean, that kind of true devastation is, it's much rarer than just a feeling of being, well, a little bit, life is a bit tough. I think a better guide to the theme of this psalm is the time that I remember feeling most helpless. That occasion happened a few years ago. My son was rushed to the hospital. It was very frightening. It turned out that he had meningococcal septicemia. The consultant I spoke to, after a day or so of tests, gave him a 50-50 chance of living or dying. And in fact, even if he lived, there was a significant chance that his life would be very much compromised in terms of his perhaps amputation of limbs and all kinds of things. As you can imagine, my wife and I were stunned. So Penny and I mounted a round-the-clock vigil by his bed. And when we weren't at his side, we were in the hospital chapel praying, along with many friends from church who came and prayed with us. And I'm so grateful for that. We were out of our depth. We were out of our minds with worry. We were crying out to the Lord, like this psalmist. Now, our son recovered, and he's fully healthy today, and we are so very grateful. But I will never forget how desperate I felt and how I felt like I was drowning. I think that's what's going on here in this psalm. He's feeling a great deal of pain. It's like the bottom has fallen out of my life. That's what he's saying. In other words, this is more than just normal pain and problems. This is a real suffering that's led to, well, to despair, really. Hope is now a stranger to him. And I think we've all had that experience. The question is whether we have God in the middle of the experience of despair. As Forsyth said, the worst thing that can happen to a man is to have no God to cry out of the depth. In other words, the worst thing is not the despair, is not the desperate situation, but the worst thing is not to have God with you in the midst of all that. Psalm 130, as someone put it, sings through the suffering. Rather like that. Sings through the suffering. Acknowledging the suffering, not ignoring it. The suffering isn't a skeleton in the closet. It's not a puzzle to be explained. It's just expressed. Do you sometimes feel that suffering and pain shouldn't exist? Or that they're wrong for a person of faith? This devalues the experience and the value of the suffering. It denies reality, in fact. Our suffering connects us with Jesus on the cross, just as his suffering on the cross connects him to our suffering. It goes both ways. I think there's a secret here in this psalm. The secret of this psalmist's confidence is found, as you read through the rest of the psalm, there is a confidence there, a confidence that God will hear him, God will help him, is found in the fact that God's name is used no less than 8 times in these 8 verses of the psalm. And these references tell us at least 6 things. Firstly, that he forgives sin. Have a look for that. Secondly, he comes to those who wait and hope in him. Thirdly, that he is steadfast in love and redemption. Fourthly, that he makes a difference in our lives. Fifthly, that he acts positively towards his people. Sixthly, that he's not indifferent, he's not rejecting, he's not ambivalent, he's not arbitrary, he's not stingy, and there's more, I think. But have a look for those things and see what else you find. These characteristics of God, these six that I've just listed, would make an excellent outline for a prayer time. Maybe you might want to try that, praying about him, forgiving sin, coming to you, the weight and hope, being steadfast in love and redemption, and so on. If you want the list written out, have a look on my blog, malcolmcox.org. The blog version is there, and the list is there if you want it. Use these as a time, at a time when you're feeling the despair that's captured in this psalm. This psalm begins in despair, but ends in hope. And I think that's a real parallel of the Christian life, the life journey that all of God's followers experience, that we often begin in despair, but can always end in hope because of the empty tomb, because the cross was not the final word. So, what do we do when we are in the depths? Well, we call to the one who can save us. There's some great references in Psalm 69 as well for that. Have a look at that. The word call, when he uses that word here in Hebrews chapter 1, he says, I cry to you, I call to you. And elsewhere he says the same thing in the psalm. The word call there in the Hebrew has an expectation of a response. It's not thrown out there into the emptiness. It's thrown out there, prayed out there to a person who's expected to respond. God does hear your voice and mine. Your voice is as important to him as anyone else's. Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Our suffering does have a purpose and it will end at some point. In the meantime, let's let suffering do its work to mature our heart and our faith. If we do, we will grow more and more into the character of Jesus. So just to finish off, can I ask you, have you ever been overwhelmed? I mean, like we're talking about here, really the sense of drowning. And if so, since you're listening to this, I guess you found some hope. So what did you do to find hope in that difficult, desperate situation? I would love to know. Could you comment, leave a note? How did you find hope in the midst of the suffering, the desperation, whatever the situation was that you were in? If you want to write some detail, that's great. If you just want to put a couple of notes, that's totally fine. But what have you done to find hope in the midst of despair? Please leave a comment. We'll all learn to how to find hope, even in the depths, but perhaps especially in the depths. Until the next time, I hope you have a wonderful day, and God bless.